welcome back and happy Tuesday. We are coming to you live from London at Cybos. And I have an incredible guest who also happens to be a six-footer like myself.
Absolutely.
Hashtag tall girls rule. and her name is Georgia Still Matthews. And Georgia is the Global Business Development Director at Dell Technologies. And we're here at Cybos, and Georgia was on a panel earlier this week talking about the future of biometrics, which is a topic that is very relevant in financial services, but really across industry. So what is biometrics to like the lay people? And then what does the future of that actually look like?
Okay, so biometrics is a way of authenticating, right? But using parts of yourself. So you may see it on your iPhone and things like that. You've got Face ID, you've got Touch ID. It's a way of unlocking devices. You're seeing it used most primarily, but also banks here in the UK, and actually I'm not sure if it's the same in the US, are using biometrics more and more to access bank accounts. And they're looking at now how they can actually do that on retailers as well. So when you're going to buy something, say off Amazon, you could also use biometrics there. So that's kind of where we are.
Yes, so the US banks certainly have that. So when I open my account, I can use my finger. It works most of the time, and then randomly it will stop working, and I don't know why, and I got to put my password back in. But yes, we certainly have that. So what are some of the primary challenges with biometrics? You made a few really interesting comments that I think the audience would really appreciate.
Yeah,
so in the current landscape, what are the challenges with biometrics?
So I think some of the challenges are, firstly, that different devices have different biometrics. So they can't just roll out one kind of biometrics to fit all. You know, you'll notice the latest iPhones don't actually have the fingerprint. They just have face. Some just have fingerprint and not have face. So that's why you're having that backup of passwords and pins. And actually, the passwords and pins aren't very secure. So there's this idea that we look into, which is looking at the difference between theory and reality. So in theory, right, your four-digit pin should be pretty secure.
Right.
It's got 9,999 different combinations. But the reality is people use the date of birth, repeated numbers, so it becomes really insecure. And this is the same with passwords. We're seeing passwords again and again being used on like database breaches, there's hacking attempts that are happening, and this really doesn't make them very secure. So actually your biometrics is only as secure as your password and PIN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating. You don't think about it that way, but to your point, it's like people, even on the password side, they do what they know, they do what they're comfortable with, and because you're logging in and accessing so many different sites, you tend to use the same things over and over, so
absolutely,
it's quite easy.
With a different number at the end.
Yes. Who does that?
Nobody, obviously.
No one. So that part makes sense. What about from a demographic perspective? Mm-hmm. So back to the biometrics piece, what are some challenges there that you've been seeing?
Yes, so we noticed that the kind of 18 to 44 mark are very like comfortable with biometrics. You know, they're using them every day on their devices. When you start looking at an older audience, they see biometrics as something out of sci-fi films. They don't want to use it, and that is causing a massive barrier in the world of biometrics, because actually, how are you going to teach your mum, your grandma, to try and use this kind of technology? They're not going to use it, they don't understand it, and they don't know what it's for. And that's a misconception. I think people are very confused of what is biometrics. And this is why, hopefully, with this video, we're dispelling some of those myths.
Yes. Yes. And one of the other things that you talked about a little bit was the inherent biases that come with biometrics. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Absolutely. So this is something that's not very well publicized, but we worked with a company called Gender Shades. And what they're doing is looking at biometrics technology, and this was specifically with Face ID to start with, to actually see how easy it is to log in, right, across races. And what they found is, if you are a white-skinned male, that error rate of you logging in is 1%. But if you're a dark-skinned female, it's 35%. And this is a huge issue for people.
One every three times you try to unlock a device, you can't do it.
Absolutely. And you just think about that. I mean, you're completely having a bias towards certain races, and that's not fair. And then in China, we're seeing this time and time again, and you might have seen it on the news, where colleagues are opening each other's phones. Because again, with this kind of technology, it hasn't been tried out on every single race, and this is an issue. And we're starting to see this in voice technology as well. So voice tech here in the UK, and I'm pretty sure it'll be the same in the US. If you've got kind of a standard accent, which mine probably is quite standard, it works pretty well. I mean, maybe not in a loud environment, which is another reason why there's some issues.
Yeah.
But if you've got a northern accent, or you've got a specific accent, maybe like a Welsh accent, it's not picking up as well. because they haven't trained the algorithm to detect regional accents very well. So that's another issue that we find.
Yeah, it's interesting. So my mother was from Sweden.
Okay.
And, so she would always try Siri back, you know, earlier versions of the iPhone, and she did. It took her a while to text, so she would do you know Siri, and the text would come out, and I think I understood one in every six words because they could not understand her accent.
I can believe that. I can believe that a lot.
Okay, so I think we've outlined a lot of the challenges.
Yeah.
Where are we going? What does the future look like? Where do you see the biggest opportunities?
So I do think that biometrics will continue to grow. The reason I do it is because it's quick. Now, if you think about people and accessing accounts, they want to get in as quickly as possible. And they also want a personalized experience. And you could argue that what is more personal than using your own biometrics? It's yours. It belongs to you. So I think it will continue to grow. But I think there is really a play here for multi-factor authentication, right? Because as you mentioned, your biometrics is backed up with a password and PIN. So let's remove the password and PIN because they're really not secure. Let's look at other solutions that are out there on the market and layer up that technology so that it's better and more secure for users, but also doesn't have that barrier. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to start to see a converge of different biometrics and non-biometrics sitting together in this space. And there is a lot of technology providers out there looking to play in this space.
Your passion for this space is palpable.
Yes,
I love
absolutely.
It. And there's a ton of opportunities there. So thank you so much for your time. I'm excited
you're
to see
welcome.
What you're going to be doing at Dell and how you're going to have impact there. So to read the full interview with Georgia, please click on the link below. You will find out about her background coming from a fintech into a big company like Dell and more about what's happening with authentication and biometrics broadly. And signing off from Sibos, until next week.
Thank you.